This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, hi, hello. Welcome, everyone, to ENN on this, a Wednesday evening. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
You want to say yeet?
I didn't really understand. What does that mean?
You want to say yeet?
That's what she says in the little rap video she does.
Well, what does she mean?
Well, did you see the Saturday Night Live skit with Pete Davidson, that they would say their, rap their line, and they go, yeet! That's the thing that kids do.
That was pretty funny.
Got it. Very interesting. I'd like to say also good evening to Don.
Oh, well, I'll get sprinkles.
Anything else from today if I were to say good evening to Michael? No pressure. What if I were to say good evening to Don? Oh, this is sad.
Wow.
Guys, there's been a lot going on the last couple of days, let's be honest. And in fact, so much was going on yesterday during our two-part ENN that I extended ENN and still didn't talk about some of the stories that I wanted to talk about.
Wow, so we're actually taking it into a second day?
This is day two.
Remnants of Tuesday?
That's right. Because I really did not mention the Brian Windhorst story that came out yesterday about NBA expansion.
Windy.
Yeah, Windy at Sea. And the idea that the NBA could be expanding. Of course, this would be a financial decision. They could add two teams at the $2.5 billion expansion fee. This is all according to Brian Windhorst. And each franchise would get a $166 million infusion of cash to help offset the loss of revenue during the pandemic. The $5 billion windfall would be roughly 58% of what the league took in during the entire 2018-2019 season, which, of course, was uninterrupted as opposed to last season. Players would not see a cent of this money, by the way. Now, to restore balance here, the league would need to move one current Western Conference team over to the East.
New Orleans.
That's the Lakers. I would think you have to move the Lakers.
Michael, I'm not an expert on this. I don't think they're going to go Lakers there.
No, yeah. It would be great to have the Lakers and the Celtics and the Knicks in the East. I love
it. It's a good thought. Don, you want to give me the three options that are listed in this article?
Well, I would think New Orleans.
That's number one.
Memphis.
Don, that's number two.
Oh, let me see if I can get the hat trick here. Oh, another Western Conference team.
Can I chime in?
Yes.
OKC, maybe.
Incorrect. You've ruined it yet again.
Really?
Nope.
How about the Clippers?
Again, that's not how it works. We're looking for a Midwest kind of team, Don. Oh. Don, we talked about this place yesterday.
We talked about this place yesterday.
In detail, yep.
So what's in detail about basketball or just the place?
Nope, not about basketball, about the place. It was actually related to football. Think the dead center of the country.
Yeah, but dead center of the country. Milwaukee's already in the East.
Go ahead.
You're so close. What am I? Indiana's already in the East.
You're so close. Here's a hint. All right, I'll give you a two-word.
Cleveland's already in the East.
I'll give you a two-word hint. Are you ready?
Yes.
Raspberry beret.
Ah, those Minnesota.
Oh, wow. They should be in the East.
So those would be the options to move east.
Because the two teams that they're talking about, two cities they're talking about expanding to are Seattle and Vegas, and they have to be in the West.
Correct.
And that makes sense because they're just finishing up the building for the Kraken, so they can go right into there, and you've already got the arena, T-Mobile Arena in Vegas, for the basketball team to go. And it makes sense. But it also tells you the fast track of this, because I wasn't hearing anything about NBA expansion up until now, is that these owners, they need this money.
It is amazing to me, and I'm glad you brought that up. Are they operating under such a shoestring situation that one awful year, maybe two in a row, forces them to go into an expansion? Because they, if they had expanded before, that's profit that they would have made. Now they're just trying to balance their books. Well, are they really operating with that little room for error?
Well, I think this was probably something that eventually they were going to do. They just fast-tracked it. My prediction within the next couple of months, Michael, baseball will make official their return to Montreal and to go to Nashville. Mark my words, within the next 3-4 months, maybe not those specific cities. I think definitely Nashville. I think they want to go to Nashville. Baseball will expand. Because football's already got 32. The NHL starting next year will have 32. The NBA is going to have 32. Baseball is going to go to 32. And they're going to want the same thing. And maybe they'll get even more money, right? Maybe they'll charge $3.5 billion for each one. You don't think the baseball is going to do the exact same thing?
Yeah, I don't think they'd get that. I mean, the New York Mets sold for $2.4 billion, so... Oh, now, did you also see about the Mets? So, Steve Cohen's company, .72, I guess increased its hedge fund by like 17% from last year, which is an amazing return. It's more than Madoff. And Steve Cohen made profit last year of $1.6 billion. He essentially paid for the Mets for 1 year.
That's a good year. Yeah, I got to tell you, I've been watching a little bit of the show Industry on HBO.
Right.
You heard of it?
No, I have not.
Filth. Porn adjace.
Sex?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I'm against it. You know, I'm no prude.
Right.
That, you know, that's one thing I've never been called. But
there's a lot of fetish porn.
But I will say it's an obscene amount of really graphic sex. But... It's about, you know, a hedge fund or some finance crap I don't understand. Don, here's my takeaway from this, okay? And this could, you could apply this to Billions, Boiler Room, Industry, anything in which you have these supposedly macho guys running around and screaming and getting really rich, and then they have to, like, go party and do coke all night and then, like, vomit and wake up and go work again.
Right.
I'm good. I'd rather not be rich. I'm good. I just want to say... I'm good.
Wait, of all the things you just detailed, which one are you out on?
All of it.
The throwing up or, I mean, what exactly?
No, the whole thing. I'm good on the whole thing. Meaning if that's the lifestyle, like, yes, you end up rich, but you have to hang out with these annoying nozzles who think they're really cool, screaming at each other, and then you have to party all night and every night, and then you're throwing up, and you're waking up the next day, and you're back there screaming, and yet at the end of the year, you make $1.3 billion. I'm good. I'm good.
Talking about with golf. Like, I feel like the people that like golf are like those types of people.
But, Don, that's the problem. Yes, you're right. Here's the problem. Right. Those people like golf. But then also, the most regular people
ever like
golf.
I understand that. Listen, I'm making a broad generalization.
Golf, right?
But I do believe that, like, that's what I think of.
I get it.
Like, I think of those guys in, like, Wedding Crashers, right? Or in The Wedding Singer, you know. Want an Alabama Slammer? Meet you over at the bar. Sounds like a plan. High five. You know, that kind of stuff.
I hear you. But anyways, just my slight update on the show Industry. It's interesting, though. It's an interesting show. It's just a little strange.
Industry is interesting.
Dave Gettleman. Oh, wait, sorry. I forgot my other story that I skipped over yesterday. We only mentioned it in passing today. Don, I'd like you to explain to us the new, like, divisional sponsorship plan in the NHL.
That just each division is going to have a sponsorship in the East, where the Rangers, Islanders, and Devils are going to reside, will be Mass Mutual.
I was about to say, speaking of the kind of people and jobs I'm not interested in, tell us who the sponsors are.
Right, and the only other one I remember off the top of my head is the Western Division will be Honda.
Oh, there you go. That's a normal.
I forget
brand.
What the other two are.
The other two are banks. I think they're all banks except.
And
Honda.
People are flipping out about it. Oh, Scotiabank is going to be where the Canadian teams are because that's important.
Canadian nozzles.
Yeah, but listen, everybody's looking to recoup a little money, and I know there's a lot of people out there who are like, "Oh, these are billionaires." They lost money last year. They lost home dates. They lost playoff money, and they're not going to have fans likely for the entire regular season coming up. So you got to make up your money, right, Michael? And
I'm amazed that people get overwrought with this. I mean, remember, you didn't even like it when the NBA put patches on their uniform for companies. Do you even notice them anymore?
No, you don't notice them. In the NHL, like the Devils in their helmets is going to have a Prudential sticker. But it's
so
a small one, not a big deal. I just don't want what you see in some of the soccer or international hockey where they
look like billboards.
And it looks ridiculous. But here's the thing with the divisions, all right? Do you think anybody other than, like, if Kenny's doing a national game, well, they'll put the graphic up, and probably because of NBC's relationship with the NHL, they'll probably say the Eastern Division brought to you by Mass Mutual is being led by the New York Islanders.
They might have you do it.
I don't think
you might be told you have to refer to each division by the sponsor.
I don't think they will. On a radio level, I don't think they will.
Now, listen, here's one thing. Don't ever get his word. If people want to get bent out of shape about this, I promise you. Andrew, are you aware off the top of your head of what the name of the French Premier League currently is?
No, actually.
Ligue 1 Uber Eats?
I mean, I've never called it that, right. And I don't know anyone that has.
We have it on these shores. We have the Red Bulls. They're named after a product.
It's a fair point.
Right. But
God, soccer is sickening, you're right.
But here's the thing. Do you think anybody is going to call up and say, Don, who do you think is going to win the Mass Mutual division? No, they can say, who's going to win the East? And then I'm going to – listen, Bridgestone, it's the Bridgestone Winter Classic, but when the Rangers played in the Winter Classic, I wasn't saying welcome to the Bridgestone Winter Classic. I was saying the Winter Classic. Now, on television, they'll have the font that'll say, you know, Mass Mutual division or whatever, and maybe on the television side, they might encourage them to say it. But it's not going to be that big of it. And it's only, they've admitted, it's only 1 year. They're only doing it for this year.
I'll play along.
No, but, well, the reason is because they're going to have a different format next year.
No, I get
division.
It, but they'll name their other divisions if it means money.
Yeah, but it's not going to be like the old, Peter will remember this as a hockey fan, the old, like, Smythe division, Norris division.
Oh,
it's never going to be referred to as the sponsor. It'll just when they show the graphic, and here's who's leading the East, brought to you by Mass Mutual.
I do remember on this show last year, people's heads exploded. Blood and guts all over the place. Their heads exploded when the Yankees and every team in Major League Baseball was going to put the Nike swoosh on the uniform. Wow, did the world end?
It really does say, though, when you look at the France Ligue 1, it really just has Uber Eats built into the logo, which is crazy. Now, Don, Michael, I think we're safe right now. However, you heard it here first. I think we're a couple of years away. You can picture it right now. Jim Nantz on TV going, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kansas City Arrowhead Stadium as we prepare for the Pornhub AFC Conference Championship game. It could happen any time.
Yeah, I don't think that will be the particular company, but I guarantee it will happen. It will happen. I think that when people will live. I mean, soccer teams are named after companies.
You get used to it.
Did anybody go nuts when Wrigley Field was named Wrigley Field? They were named after the guy who made the gum.
You know what?
Yeah, but at least it was the guy that it was his name. But listen, it's happening now, Michael. We just say, welcome to MetLife Stadium. Right? It's not.
Right. I mean, Madison Square Garden's name is still Madison Square Garden, but there's Chase all over the place.
Right, but because
I wouldn't be offended if the Yankees capitalized on Yankee Stadium.
Right, they never
Yankee
would.
Stadium on American Express Field? Why? Why would that be so terrible?
No, but it would be terrible for 5 minutes, and then people will get used to it. They'll move on. I mean, and especially in the post-pandemic world, how can anybody fault these leagues for trying to recoup some money that they lost? And I know there are some people that still feel that purist attitude, but everything's going to have to go away here. I understand these are billionaires. But billionaires don't like losing money, Michael, and especially don't like losing their toy losing money. So if they've got a chance for 1 year to reside in the Honda division and it means putting some money in their pocket, then that's what they're going to do.
All right. The Giants are retaining Dave Gettleman officially. Let's hear Dave Gettleman. And he was asked how long he can do this for.
It really is dependent upon the Lord how long I stick around for. You know, we're all day to day, by the way, in case anybody missed that point. I feel fine. I feel good. I'm excited. You know, I just want to keep going. I don't know where this retirement stuff came from. I have no idea what that's all about. There are probably some people that at the end of the day, I feel great. So let's keep going.
It's very interesting to me that when we hear play quotes from the Giants GM, I can't tell if it's Dave Gettleman or Dave Portnoy. But with the exception of Dave Gettleman's remotely likable. But we'll get to see. No, ma! We'll get to see.
Didn't that guy just raise a lot of money for businesses?
Who?
Dave Portnoy.
That makes him likable?
Well, I mean, you'd say remotely likable. I mean, the guy has done some, I mean, that's a nice thing he did.
By the way, this is just like your relationship with DiPietro making sense because you love family. I didn't say he was a deplorable human being who should be banished.
You said remotely likable. So I'd say somebody that's raised millions of dollars for businesses that are in distress.
You want to go how many billionaires have raised billions of dollars who I don't find to be remotely likable?
There are people that I do not find likable. And if they went out and donated $1 million, I'm supposed to change my opinion?
That's the thing. That doesn't make sense.
Good for him. He donated $1 million.
Yeah, I didn't say he was immoral and should be in jail. I said he's not remotely likable.
You didn't even say a bad guy. You just don't like him.
I didn't say bad guy. I didn't say bad. Probably a bad guy. I didn't say bad guy. By the way, he hates my guts. So what? Yeah, I'm sure if I found out I gave it to charity, he'd still hate me.
I think the only thing that came up about the possibility of Gettleman retiring, because the feeling was is that if the Giants bottomed out, the Giants wouldn't fire him, that they would probably force him into retirement. I don't know if he ever contemplated actually retiring because he feels good.
By the way, though, it's still, like everything else with the two teams in New York, the Gettleman story and whether or not it is how it turns out is still very much hanging in the balance, no?
Hey, I feel
Daniel Jones is the biggest piece to the puzzle. We still don't know how we feel about Daniel Jones.
Hey, I got caught up in it too. After that win against Seattle, you know, Gil Brandt's tweeting out about all the low level picks that have excelled and you know, Dave Gettleman's up for executive of the year, and then you lose four of the last five, and it's like, oh well, you know, you're pleasantly surprised he's actually still working. It's a huge year next year. And barring catastrophic injury, if this team is 6-10 next year, then Gettleman's out, and the jury is certainly out on Joe Judge. Because, Michael, you'd have to take back you're going to Canton. If this team is 6-10 next year, they got to improve.
Yeah, I guess if they make the playoffs at 9-7, he's okay.
No, if they miss the playoffs, but if they tack on three more wins, six more than they did before Joe Judge got there, that would be good. But if this is an under 500, I'm not sure about the quarterback. Oh, how did they lose that game? Then I think there's trouble, right, Peter?
Yeah, fair, totally fair. All right, let's keep it moving here,
please.
Let's hear from Ryan Clark, who was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Talking about Kevin Stefanski. Stefanski will miss the playoff game after testing positive for COVID-19. However, the rest of the Browns full speed ahead. No other positive COVID-19 tests. But here's Ryan Clark talking about the loss.
You're losing not only your schematic leader, but your actual in-game play caller that understands the vibe and the flow of this team each and every down. And I think that's huge, and it can't go underrated. This is like losing, at least to me, 3 to 7 points in this game to a team that you are already the underdog to.
It's crazy, isn't it? If you're Cleveland and you finally have this opportunity and now you're doing it without the head coach who got you there, it's a lot to put on Baker Mayfield, too.
That's a lot. You think it's that many points? You think it's a touchdown difference?
No.
I mean, it's not like they lost him on Saturday. I mean, he could probably put something in place.
But you
know
what?
Game plan in place.
It's amazing, though. He's not even going to ask the NFL. I'm not even going to ask them for the right to, like, coach remotely. Why? Oh, those are the rules. Well, I'm sorry. These are extenuating circumstances. Why can't you coach them remotely?
It's a really good point.
And you listen, that rule exists because it wouldn't be fair. So you just tell the Steelers, you could do whatever you want, too. If you got somebody you want to whisper in your ear from afar, fine. Just like when the headsets don't work, right? The other team's got to stop using their headsets so it's equal and even. Do something like that. It's a playoff game, for God's sakes. Their first one in a decade.
Also, you
More
know
than
what?
That.
No, 20 years.
I'm not
two.
I'm not saying that R.J. Bell is a hack-a-doodle-do.
You have, but not maybe.
I have, but I'm not saying that right now at all.
We'll get him on tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm on good terms with RJ. I mean, he hasn't done as well as I have the second half of the season. But listen, we're all here trying to do our best job. But you know how he tells us the numbers that how much a quarterback being out can affect a team? What's the biggest amount he's ever told us?
Three.
Tell me this, Don. honestly, and I think you watched enough to say, maybe not as much as me, are you telling me from Dwayne Haskins to Alex Smith you would say it's three?
But that's all he usually gives you.
But I kept thinking that when I was watching Haskins play the last 2 weeks. I'm like, they cannot score. How could it be three? It has to be 9.5.
But I think there is something to, like, look what happened with the Giants in Seattle, right? They knew that Jones was out. Colt McCoy had a week to game plan, and they put something together that actually was presentable enough for them to be able to win the game. So if Haskins is good, if you know Haskins is going to start the game 5-6 days before, that's better than finding out he gets hurt in the first quarter and then you got to rush somebody else in. You know, right? So I think the fact that Stefanski has had time to know game plan, it can't be 7 points.
No, I would think with a head coach, the most you're talking about is 1 or 2. That's what I would think. Now, unless that really says that he's the spiritual leader of this team. So we'll see. It's going to be very interesting Sunday night between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Fascinating playoff game. Speaking
now, do you have more ENN?
Yeah, of course I've.
You're still on Tuesday.
I think that what we should do then is turn this into one of those ENN magnum opuses.
I'm starting to get the hunch that's what we just do every day now, because I think it's the third day in a row.
I mean, if you were able to somehow stay within your guardrails, we wouldn't have to do that. But you're not able to. So we're going to take a brief time out and pay some bills.
Okay.
And then we'll come back with a very special edition of Blossom and ENN in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Part two of ENN with the great Peter Elliott Rosenberg.
You see what you did, Michael?
What did I do?
You had to go on. I take a simple jab at Dave Portnoy, and you have to go on about he gives money to charity, and now I have grown men losers running. Dave Portnoy, did you hear what Rosenberg said? Will you be my friend? Will you tweet me? Saturday's for the boys. And that's what I got to deal with now.
You said it. I didn't say it.
I mean, I wasn't going to go into his charitable endeavors. I was just taking a shot at him being obnoxious. God. But you know what? It's fine.
$18 million raised so far for small businesses.
Well, listen, there's no doubt. I'm not doubting the following that he has and his ability to raise money. It's tremendous. It wasn't ever about that. Don, but can you imagine the people who literally, and this isn't just a barstool thing. This goes down the board. I love when we say things about someone and another. Imagine being a grown man with your own life in theory. And you run to the computer to at the person and go, did you hear what happened? It's on the public record. If people want to download the podcast, enjoy yourself. But you're running to spread the word of it. What is wrong with you? Do you know the word yenta? It's when yenta goes too far.
And I love it when they don't get the information correct.
Oh, no, hold on. No.
And then the person believes it. I had this happen. I'll be full disclosure. Happened with Phil Hughes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And he went nuts. And I'm like, and I had to tweet him back. Like, first of all, the information wasn't accurate. and second of all, then just tweet back at me. And then he said, well, why would he lie? I don't know.
He's a nobody.
Do what they do.
By the way, this, like, one guy who goes to him says, Rosenberg basically said, screw the Barstool Fund.
Wow, that's not what you said.
Remotely what I said. I said that's a great thing, but I still find him obnoxious. That's not remotely true. Whatever. This is Twitter. Am I right or am I right? Ladies and gentlemen, let's continue on with ENN, shall we, on a big Wednesday, two-part ENN. We talked about the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game. Well, we should talk about the Washington-Tampa game. Chase Young after the game on Sunday night against Philadelphia, Chase Young ended up saying that he's very excited to take on Tom Brady. He said, Tom Brady, I'm coming. I want Tom. Wednesday, he was asked about that, and he said, I play ball. I'm excited to go against the best. The media, their job's to stir it up. If you know me, I'm excited for every game. Tom Brady, you think I'm not excited to play against the GOAT? You tripping. I'm not going to apologize for saying I want Tom. No, I want every quarterback I play against. Here's our own Bart Scott on Bart and Hahn earlier talking about Chase Young calling out Tom Brady.
See, but you never know who you're going to offend. That's the problem, right? You never know who you're going to offend because you think, okay, well, the offense is going to get pissed off at Chase Young. No, the defense may say, you touch him, okay, we going to kill Alex Smith. We going to blitz the hell out of Alex Smith. We see that calf don't work. Fair we know point. He can't move in the pocket. So we going to scrape your quarterback up, and we going to say this is delivery, special delivery, Chase Young. We going to deliver this kicking to you because your youngster over there talked too much and you couldn't keep his mouth shut. So guess what? Night-night for you, Mr. Smith.
I'm usually on the other side on this. What did he do that was so wrong? He wants Tom Brady. So what? Don knows this. Players use anything.
Well, that's
right.
Players use anything for motivation. So if Tampa Bay needs this for motivation, there's an issue there. But they probably will have it up, and they'll tell Tom, and they'll tell the defense. And, you know, Bruce Arians will use it as a carrot. But that's the only reason I would tell players to shut up, because I think that players do use it. And sometimes it does get them into a frenzy. But I don't have a problem with what Chase Young said, although I'm leaning big-time Tampa Bay on this pick.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this could be interesting then, because guess where I'm leaning.
Well, then that's 3 points I just took from you.
Three?
Yeah, I might go three.
You really think Peter's making that his three-point play? You think he's that big of a fanboy?
He might be.
I understand.
He already knows what my three-point play is. My three-point play has been telestrated all week.
Yeah, I know what his three-point play is. It's not Washington. It's a little bit north of Washington.
That's right. Perhaps you're right. Perhaps you're right. I got no issue with it. I love Chase Young as his entire character and everything about him. By the way, I read an article about him the other day. What an awesome dude. And he has become the complete and total vocal leader of the football team, which apparently is not very common, Don, on football teams, that a rookie defensive player takes over a team completely.
Well, when you're that good.
But, man, Michael.
But you know what, Peter? So fortunate that the Giants got that winning feeling in that last game last year.
I loved it. I'll do it again.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I'd go back and do it again.
Andrew Thomas is really going to help the Giants way more than Chase Young would have.
It does matter.
So well, and it turned Daniel.
I can do what I want.
I'm not saying they should have thrown the game. I'm saying that you should have been upset that they won a needless game.
No games are meaningless. They all mean something. And that meant something.
Well, hold on. It's hard for you to argue with Don this week when, Don, we did just completely rip the Eagles. Granted, they did it clumsily.
But no. Again, everybody's taking me wrong on this. Don's got to be out of his mind not to agree with me on this.
No.
You can root for the team to win. But after they win, you've got to have some level of disappointment and you missed out on Chase Young.
There's a lot of disappointments in life. But at that moment, I rooted for him to win. And I can't say, I wish I didn't root for him to win. No, I just root for them to win. It'll all work itself out.
But I think you said that the reason that you wanted that win, right, was that it was going to teach Daniel Jones how to win games. Yeah, well, they start at 1-7, really helped them.
Well, it doesn't have to be immediate.
Well, is going to kick in year six?
Well, no, because I always, because you don't listen to me. That's the problem.
Unfortunately, I listen to everything you say.
For it to sink in. I go back to that changing the play at the line of scrimmage last game of the year against Dallas in 2004, the only game that Eli won. And I said that was a big moment for Eli. And then, you know, he had his moments in it, you know, going 11-5 the next year, but got shut out in the playoff game. Went 8-8 the year after that and lost to Philadelphia in the playoff game. But then, you know, he's on the grand stage of the Super Bowl. It all is part of the maturation process. I live in the now. I just root for my teams to win. Yeah, they missed out on Chase Young. Who knows? Maybe 3 years from now, Thomas will end up being one of the best left tackles, and God forbid Chase Young has something. I don't want to wish anything on him. I'm just saying that you don't know what's going to happen. Remember, the Giants are wrong with Eli because Sean Merriman. Look at Sean Merriman tearing it up. Well, he gets busted for PEDs. He's out of the league in 3 years.
Well, I hear you, but I also will say Washington's in the playoffs because they drafted Chase Young. That is a fact.
Well, and if the you know what I regret, the Giants taking Evan Engram in the first round pick in 2017. If he holds on to the football, Chase Young could have been murdering people on the field. It wouldn't matter.
That's
that
true.
The Giants would be in the playoffs if their stupid first round pick held on to the ball. So all living in the moment, okay? So that's what I'm going to do.
It's a good
point. Rooting for my team to win. You can't convince me otherwise. Peter continues.
Well said. That was very well said.
It was not well said. It was lunacy at its best.
Jason Kelce.
Why, you hate losing. That's the problem. Yeah, that's what I love about you. You hate taking the L.
Peter, this is what we talked about yesterday with Don arguing. He doesn't stop arguing unless he you will not convince me that win was more important to the Giants than having Chase Young.
Take the L!
And I'm not saying the Giants should have lost the game on purpose. Please don't paint me into that corner. Saying that after it was over.
And I think I did a much better job and a more entertaining job articulating my side. Peter, have at it.
No. You can't be of right mind to say that you'd rather have let's put it this way. Who would you rather have, Andrew Thomas or Chase Young?
I'd rather have Chase Young. But it'll work out that way, but I rooted for my team to win because that's what sports is about.
Peter.
Who won, Peter? Show me something. If you had to hang the L like a medal after an Olympic event, who are you hanging the L on?
Well, I can't hang it on Michael because – no, hear me out. Because you're being stubborn. You're saying you're happy they won. There's two separate things. Michael, I think, would accept if you went, Michael, I root for them because I always root for them. However, no, I didn't take any great joy in winning that game because it cost us Chase Young. But you're actually doubling down and going, no, I'm happier with
honest.
The win.
There are no – honestly, there's no right or wrong. Michael has his opinion. I have my opinion. Where I feel I was victorious is I think I articulated my opinion better. He just attacks me.
Listen, I don't want to get
in the middle. All right, Snowflake.
I understand. Listen, Peter, you've made – sticking your head up his fanny has worked out for you so far.
Oh,
so
why my goodness. Oh, Peter, now you should get angry.
You know what?
You've never been near my fanny. You have never done that.
Yeah, excuse me. My name is not Rick, and I got no interest in Michael's –
I just thought, why can't you just get – you can't even throw me a bone, Mike.
I don't think you're right. I don't think you're right. No, you should not.
Speak. I don't know the English language. I'm awkward in front of people. All right?
Yeah.
I could barely walk from here to there. But the one thing that I do well is I argue well. Okay? And you can't even agree with me and just give me the – you know what, Don? You're a fabulous debater. You're a fabulous arguer. No.
You can
be. I'm stubborn, and I repeat myself. No, why don't you just throw me one compliment bone? Can't do it.
I'm not standing at it. I can't
And it drives you crazy. Because you know why you can't win an argument with me? Not because I don't shut up. Not because I keep saying the same thing over and over again. It's because I'm better than you at it. You're a better interviewer than me. You're a better talk show host than me. You're a better human being than me. But I argue better than anybody on this planet. It's all I can do. It's all I have.
You know what? I got to tell you, now that was a compelling argument, what you just put together there, ironically enough.
You've never been near my fanny.
Jason Kelce has clarified what happened after the Eagles-Washington game on Sunday. He acknowledged on an Instagram post that he was a little surprised by the decision to pull Jalen Hurts in favor of Nate Sudfeld against Washington, and that he approached Coach Doug Peterson about the move but said the discussion was non-confrontational. Quote, all of us during the week leading up were excited for Nate, a guy that has been with us for 4 years, to get an opportunity in a real game to show the world what he can do. We all have complete confidence in Nate as a player. There's a reason he's been here this long and a reason the team brought him back, and that's because we feel Nate is a guy we can win with. However, according to defensive end Brandon Graham, he said, if people have a problem with it, don't put yourself in the position that the Giants did.
You know, I love this because Kelce went on to say he just asked Peterson, are we doing this? So it wasn't confrontational. But, Don, since you're the best arguer here, can you imagine any member of the New York Giants, including Lawrence Taylor, questioning Bill Parcells about a movie made on the field? Parcells would have had him physically removed from the building.
Well, I would say I'm sure Lawrence Taylor would do that, but it would be confrontational.
And Bill would have said, go and bleep yourself.
But it would have been, you saw what happened when Phil Sims complained to Parcells. It told him to sit the blank down. That's a starting quarterback. But I'm saying it would be confrontational. What people don't know is that Kelce on Monday, Peter, you might know this, hamstrings, very, very sore.
Very sore.
Today, whew, strong, feel better, no pain. Because the back pedal he did makes those hamstrings, they're fire now, those hamstrings.
Now, we mentioned it briefly earlier.
Briefly.
Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, leading the list of 2021 finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Also, Calvin Johnson and defensive end Jared Allen, the famed Viking, on the list of finalists.
First guy to call Peyton to congratulate him happened to be Chris Johnson. Not a lot of people know that. People
Is that true?
Me. Yeah.
Real quick, Super Bowl favorites for you right now. Super Bowl odds.
Let's see if we can do this. You want to do
Here
this
we go. Final? Yeah, the Super Bowl favorite would be?
Chiefs, of course.
Correct. Any idea what the odds? No, you're not going to be able to get this part.
3-1.
Well, no, is it one of those like 14-5 or something ridiculous?
No, it's a plus number.
Oh, okay.
I don't play that game. I don't like plus numbers.
Plus 200?
Don, plus 190 for the
Don
Chiefs.
Got it wrong.
The Packers are next. They are at?
The Packers are at plus 230.
I got to tell you, there's some great money. Don, when is the New York betting happening?
Well, I'm in Jersey.
Don, can
now
you place
been
a bet?
He's able to bet for years.
All right, you got to place a bet for me. The Packers are at plus 450, which is incredible, which is great. And wait for this, Don. Here's where I'm sending you cash for. The Bills are plus 700.
You know what? I'm going to say it right now. You ready?
Go ahead.
I should save this for another time. But it's in my head. Your Super Bowl matchup is Green Bay Buffalo.
So here's the deal, buddy.
And I'm going to rake in money if those are the odds.
And so here's the deal. You throw down some money on the Packers and the Bills, you're making money no matter what if what you're saying comes true. Sniff them dead. Because if you throw
100,
if you throw 100 on the Bills to win the Super Bowl and 100 on the Pack to win the Super Bowl, once they make it to the Super Bowl, you're either making a couple $100 with the Packers or $600 with the Bills. Sniff them dead. That'll do it for ENN on this a Wednesday evening.
You know what we learned during this segment, Peter?
What's that?
That Don is obviously on this show the master debater. He really is.
Wow. Yeah. That. You know what? It crossed my mind, but I said
I went there.
Yeah, I said I'm better than that.
And I'm not. I am not.
You're not.
I am not better than that. I'm not.
And I think anybody that's close to the show knows that I'm not.
Well said.
Let's take a brief time out and towel off. We'll take some phone calls. We'll lead you right to the Knick pregame. Yeah, the Knicks. It's now something you have to listen to.
Knicks Jazz.
Well, sweet music right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.